today the question I want to ask is, where do answers come from? This is an interesting question, isn't it? If you said yes, or you nodded your head, where did the answer come from that you just had? Did you compare the question, where do answers come from, to all the other questions you have ever heard or read or thought and had categorized into, I'll say, at least two groups, interesting questions and uninteresting questions, and you realized this one, where do answers come from, oh, that fits into the interesting question category. Do you think that's what happened? Or did something else happen? Did your consciousness on perceiving the question, did it instantly reach out somewhere, somehow, eager to know more, to know the answer to that question? We might say, you know what? You're an inquisitive, curious person. Maybe you and others that you know and other people like to grow and to learn. And questions are the way to do that. If we want to grow and we want to learn, questions really serve that purpose because it's an activity of reaching mentally for something that we currently don't have access to or we're not fully in contact with. If I ask you, how much is 2 plus 2? It's likely that the answer is stored in your memory. That is, if you speak English, and if you've been trained in arithmetic. If you don't speak English, you might not know what I just asked you. And if you never, ever were exposed to arithmetic, you might not know what 2 plus 2 is referring to. Now, most of us had to memorize the multiplication tables when we were in elementary school. And this is a scenario where educators pumped information into our memories, practiced this over and over, 2 plus 2, 2 plus 2, 2 plus 2, 3 times 3, over and over and again. They pumped all this information into our memories so that at test-taking times, what we tried to do as students is to reach into our memories and pull out the correct answers. Correct being what the educators wanted to be written down as the answer to a particular question. Now, some people are excellent at storing information in their memories, and especially if they're skilled at associating images with the words or the concepts. So that seems to make information so much easier to be recalled if those energy patterns of images are associated. So images are a huge factor in our ability to retrieve information and maybe to perceive information. It's said that the subconscious mind is processing about 4 billion bits of information per second. That is a huge, huge number, right? That's an unbelievable amount of information being processed by us. So that information, that energy is coming to us. All kinds of processes are active. Unbelievable. It's unbelievable. But being able to retrieve that information, such as answers to questions, that's a different story. If our conscious mind processes information at about 4,000 bits of information per second, now we're saying a kind of weak power is trying to go into this vast processing facility, the subconscious mind, and extract answers. Interestingly, under hypnosis, people have been able to recall information that they couldn't recall using their conscious mind. Maybe the little teeny conscious mind is like, I can't get it. It's too hard to find the answers. But under hypnosis, people are able to find that information and verbalize it. Maybe that information in the subconscious mind, we could call it deep storage. It's like it's not right there on our desktop, if you will. It's not in our random access memory. It's not easily available. It's in deep storage, kind of like visualizing a warehouse where archived information is stored, you know, vast amounts of it. And if we're talking 4 billion bits of information per second, that says that is a vast warehouse. If we question people about where their political beliefs come from, like, I think some people would be stumped. But if we asked a couple of more times, a little bit more questioning, I think we would be able to discover that they have been told certain things about politics and life and people and you name it, from parents, peers, friends, you know, on the street corner, educators, and certainly today by the media, newspapers, talking heads on TV, news broadcasts, which are really politicized agendas for the most part. And if those people accept that information is accurate and true and valid, it's like, oh, I know the answer to the question. I know who is right and I know who is wrong. Really? Where do you get this information? And it would be from one or more of those sources that I just identified. If I had a politician who said, why should you vote for me, or at least vote against my opponent? It's like, It is likely that that politician will immediately follow with a soundbite, right? Oh, here, this is the answer. This is why you should vote for me or against my opponent. A soundbite. That's a phrase that has been developed in political media advertising because it is this little teeny bit of information that is meant to imprint us and impact us and influence us. It's not designed to enlighten us. That's not what it's about at all. And in fact, it's contrary to that idea. It's trying to push a button so we respond, maybe like Pavlov's dog, and pull a voting handle for a particular politician. If we could turn around and say to a politician, tell me the answer to this question. Are you trying to enlighten the voters, or are you trying to influence the voters? If they were honest, they would say, I'm all about influencing them to vote for me or vote against something or someone. I'm not about enlightening them. Politicians are not good places to go for answers. So if you've got an answer coming from a politician, you pretty much know this is not a good idea. The other day I drove past my hometown library. And long, long ago, people went to libraries to do research so they could either discover answers that have been discovered by other people or formulate their own answers by sifting through a lot of information that was available in encyclopedias and other reference works. But now, we can go to the computer, we can access the internet, which to me is kind of like the world's library of information. It's amazing. I love it. I don't know how we lived without it. But, you know, contrary to the funny commercial on TV, not everything on the internet is accurate. So, information that you get on the internet, we need to question its validity, its accuracy. Even though people present information in a certain way, you know, like, let me verify this before I accept it, hook, line, and sinker. Not only do I like libraries, I love books. I like everything about books. I was even told that some of my love of books resulted from a past life as an Irish monk whose job was to transcribe holy books. And I was told that, I don't know, 40-some years ago. I thought, I've often wondered if my avoidance of mistakes might have been influenced by the need to avoid error. As a monk, I'm using a quill and ink and various colors, I presume, to handprint on parchment. Yeah, you can imagine that this was way before the invention of whiteout, which is a great invention, not as great as correcto tape, and clearly not as great as the backspace and delete buttons on a computer keyboard. And I have a sensitivity, or I'll say an alertness, to spelling errors. Somehow, I notice those things. If I wanted to know, though, with certainty, if that past life actually occurred, and if it's influencing me in this lifetime, where would I go for those answers? Where would I go for those answers? Now, I have books on past life regression, hypnosis, psychic development, and a bunch of other things somewhat related to that, that give me background that might be useful if I read all the books and studied all the books, but it wouldn't actually give me the answers. I would still have to reach out for my specific answers elsewhere. I would have to actually do that. Now, how would I do that? Maybe I could go to an expert to get the answers, some psychic, but I'd have to believe the answers in order for it to dispel any uncertainty or skepticism on my part. But going to experts is something we do all the time. We do it all the time. It happens so often, we don't even recognize it as that process. Recently, I wanted to renew my library card. I called the library, talked to a, quotes, expert, and she told me what I needed to do in order to renew the card. I asked the man if I could connect to his Wi-Fi, and if so, could he tell me the Wi-Fi password? He said, yes, you can connect to it, but I have to ask somebody else what the password is because I don't know it off the top of my head. He went and asked another expert, a secretary in his office, who knew the password, gave it to him, he gave it to me. Doctors, mechanics, salespeople, coaches, clergy, clerks, librarian, and just about everybody else provide answers to questions that help energy flows, processes works, and things get done. But here's a problem. We experience this as children, and we experience it today as adults. It still plagues us. People with loud voices and an air of self-confidence are listened to whether they know what they're talking to about or not. They can be completely off their rockers, but if they're loud and self-assured, a lot of people will gravitate toward them. And you can see this from televangelists and the Westboro Christian church that was run by a person I thought was completely demented, and, you know, who was so filled with hate, and it's like, but people listen to them. People listen to them. And they listen to good guys as well. But you recognize, if you watch TV or you listen to anything political, that some people seem to be willing to say just about anything, as long as it's in their self-interest. Receiving answers to questions from somebody who is exclusively self-interested is not to our advantage. You're like, oh yeah, I don't think so. In Christ Returns Reveal Startling Truth, Christ repeatedly advises us to reach out in thought and feeling to divine consciousness and ask for enlightenment. To me, enlightenment is what happens when we receive an answer. Oh, a valid answer, not an erroneous answer. In the prayer from letter 8, there is a reference to sending out a consciousness searchlight into divine consciousness and listening so as to have divine consciousness penetrate our human consciousness. So you go, oh, answers are a form of consciousness. If they're valid, if they're true, if they're empowering, those are the kind of answers we want. That's a higher level of consciousness as compared to slander, lies, and distortions. Also consciousness, but a lower vibration, which is not what we would actually be interested in. In other letters, Christ says that there is no better life purpose than understanding and experiencing the source of our being. So, how would we do that? We would reach out to the source of our being. We would seek to communicate with it. We would seek to be aware of it. We would seek to know it, hear it, feel it, sense it. It's like, ah. And by questioning, makes us open and receptive to the answers that can come from divine consciousness. Since everything is consciousness, answers that come most directly from divine consciousness, I think, would serve us, how about better than, say, answers that were translated by human people, human consciousness, and then told to us. I already came up with the answer. Here's the answer. You don't have to think. Here's the answer. Here's the answer. Here's the answer. Because I believe everybody acts in their own self-interest according to their level of awareness, accepting somebody else's answer might not be best for us. This is where we would want to thank you for your answer, which is largely an opinion, maybe a belief, which is simply a practiced opinion, but it doesn't necessarily make it true, and it doesn't necessarily make it advantageous to us. Let me find my own answer. I think that's a good idea. To repeat the section of the part in the prayer of letter 8, where it refers to us being fully illumined. Fully illumined. Fully illumined. What does that mean? We're not shrouded in darkness or confusion or fear or doubt or any other thing that would static, any other thing that would interfere with our perception. So that goes on to say we would be able to better receive awareness of the presence of divine consciousness within and around us. So it would seem to me that the answers we want exist in divine consciousness. Like, oh yeah, yeah, yeah. So this awareness that we can receive, what does that mean? Answers to questions, solutions to problems, the means to experience growth, nutrition and nourishment, healing and protection, fulfillment of need, work, rhythm, all within the system of spiritual law and order. If we can increase our awareness and we know the answers are, they are coming to us, they're coming to us if we're open and receptive. I like this word dimension, reaching into another dimension. In the foreword of Christ's letters, even the recorder talks about our need to reach into the infinite dimension in order to try to understand what we are being told. Christ talks repeatedly about dimensions in the letters. If you have the PDFs of the Christ letters, you can search on that word dimension, and you're going to find a lot of references. And when you look at them, you go, oh, wow, this is fascinating. In letter 1, he says, he was lifted into another dimension of conscious perception when he was in the desert, and he saw the truth concerning life and existence. It's like, oh. If we could raise our awareness, our perception, into another dimension, things would be different. He also talks about, in letter 1, about mindset and how important it is that we recognize the strength of our mindset, because that can be a real barrier to our ability to expand our consciousness, to elevate our spiritual awareness. He says, it is essential you should understand that none of your human mindset has its origins in the spiritual dimension. And he describes the human mindset as the sum total of all of our conscious and subconscious programming, and he makes it clear that that this does not come from the spiritual dimension. It's obvious to me now that answers come from wherever we accept. Some people will take a talking head on TV as gospel. This is truth. This is truth. If you accept it and you don't search anywhere else, it's the only truth you will know. And it's a challenge. It's a challenge for those people because they're operating on information that is not of the highest value to them, not the most empowering to them, not the most loving to them, and in fact, oftentimes, very toxic to them. They're being pumped full of information that if they embrace and ingest, will have negative consequences. Christ describes the human mindset, and it's like a wake-up call. He says, our mindset is entirely earthly and probably filled with mythical ideas, prejudices, misconceptions, resentments, buried memories of past hurts, and habitual methods of dealing with the ups and downs of life. Our human mindset, including any religious ideas or beliefs, determine our world, our relationships, experiences, successes, failures, happiness, and misery. It is even responsible for our sickness, disease, and accidents. You go, woo, wow. It might not be the best idea if I use my human mindset as the ultimate source of information. When I ask where answers come from, if I choose my human mindset, which is very easy to do, obviously, I might not be making the best decision. We can get answers from our mindset, and or we can get them from the spiritual dimension. It seems to me that when we practice reaching into the spiritual dimension, we'll have different experiences and we will receive different awareness. So, my advice to me and you is that answers, true, reliable, valid, helpful, healthy, empowering answers come from the spiritual dimension, divine consciousness. I'd like to end this service with a prayer. This is the pluralized version of the prayer from Letter 8, Christ Returns Reveals Startling Truth. Father, Mother, Life, you are our life, our constant support, our health, our protection, our perfect fulfillment of every need, and our highest inspiration. We ask you to reveal the true reality of yourself to us. We know it is your will that we shall be fully illumined, that we may better receive awareness of your presence within and around us. We believe and know that this is possible. We believe that you protect and maintain us within perfect love. We know that our eventual purpose is to express you. As we speak to you, we know that you are perfectly receptive of us, for you are universal loving intelligence, which has so marvelously designed this world and brought it into visible form. We know that as we ask you to speak to us, we are sending out a consciousness searchlight into your divine consciousness. And as we listen, you will be penetrating our human consciousness and coming ever closer to our increasingly receptive minds and hearts. We commit ourselves and our lives into your care. Thank you. It is so. Amen.